Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Romans 3:19 says, I'm sorry, 3:18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, the Bible says that God expects us to fear Him. And I believe that that word fear means fear. In other words, I believe that God expects us to be afraid of Him. All men should be afraid of God. And that actually makes a lot of sense, since He gave us life and He can take it away. Anybody who can take away your life, it's natural to fear them. It seems natural. Now, Jesus one time said, don't fear them that can take away your life, but fear Him rather that can cast both body and soul into hell. Fear Him. Which is a much bigger reason to fear someone. I mean, if someone can cast you into an eternal hell, you ought to be afraid of him. And I mean afraid. Not just respect and awe and, you know, wonder about him, but afraid of him. Because not only can he do it, he has promised to do it. If your sins aren't paid for, he will cast you into hell. Now, I know that hell is not a popular doctrine, but it is the Bible's doctrine. And since we're not inventing things here, we're just believing what it says. We have to accept God at His Word. And God said that our sins are horrible enough to deserve an eternity in hell. Now, if you can't do the math there, I can't help you. All I can say is that's what God said. There is a hell. It is a horrible place. And God has sworn not to forget your sins, and He will cast you into hell. Now, hell is a scary place. It's a place of torment. It's a place of eternal separation from God. It's a scary place. God says you ought to fear Him. He says in Proverbs the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You haven't even begun to understand anything until you've begun to fear the Lord. Fear of the Lord, being afraid of God, is the first step in your education. The first step in your knowledge. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Job said, the fear of the Lord is wisdom. That is wisdom, he said. Fear of the Lord. We ought to be afraid of God. God expects people to be afraid of Him. But you know, He makes a judgment here. If you read the book of Romans, you get to chapter 3, He starts explaining His viewpoint about humans, about people. He says, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They've all gone out of the way. They're all together become useless, vain. He begins to indict the human race. And here toward the end, he said, there is no fear of God before their eyes. One thing that bothers God is that people don't fear Him. People aren't afraid of Him. Now, this, of course, is talking about people in their natural state. That's people left alone. This is the way people are. They don't fear God. The truth is, you'll find that God has worked among people in times past. He has done things, and I'm not sure exactly what all He does to cause it, but He causes people to fear Him. He causes people to seek Him. He causes people to go after Him. I've noticed that people don't seek God unless they get in trouble. They're not looking for God until they get in trouble. Something happens bad, then all of a sudden they're looking for God. But as long as they've got their belly full, they've got a job, the economy's okay. Prayer? No. No time. Read the Bible? No, no time. Go to church? No. We got things to do. If everything's going well, people don't look for God, don't seek God, don't fear God. But when God begins to move, God begins to deal with people on a more severe basis, He begins to try to wake people up about the danger that they're in or about the way they're living that bothers Him, then people begin to take notice. I mean, people start losing their jobs and they'll start talking to God. They'll start going to church and say, what am I doing wrong? They'll say, Lord, I'll start doing something different. Lose your job. The doctor gives you a real bad report about your checkup. Something's going wrong. You'll start saying, Lord, help me. It's amazing how people will start praying when they find out they're going to die. They start seeking God when they find out they've got a cancer, they've got a tumor, they've got something. I'm not making fun of that. It's just the way it is. And that's the way I am too. If God had never moved upon me, I'd have been just like everybody else. I wouldn't have feared God. I wouldn't have sought after Him. I can tell you that when I was a young man, God touched me. I wasn't looking for God. I remember very clearly, I was not looking for God. I was looking for fun. I was looking for thrills. I was looking for experiences. I had my own ambitions, my own thoughts, my own plans for my life. If I told them to you, you'd probably laugh. But they were mine. Then God talked to me. God showed me some things. My grandpa died. First person I'd ever known that died. Boy, there's an eye-opener. That's where you're going. That's the same thing that happened to you. You know, at 17 years old, I was woke up. And I'm telling you, my parents can probably give you the testimony. My friends can give you the testimony. I was changed. I was a different person. I realized that the only thing in the world to live for is God. There's nothing else. And I gave my life to the Lord. I cut my hair. I stopped listening to that trashy music. Amen. I backed off a little bit because I didn't want to be too extreme with my children, but listen, I don't like that music. I go into these restaurants and I'll sit there and listen to that music in my head all night long. Junky music. I changed. The Lord changed me. I wasn't any different in my own self. I was the same person. But God showed me some things. He woke me up. He made me realize that I was going to die and that everything was useless. Everything I could do was a waste of time. I was going to lose it all. I could see myself being lowered into the grave and have nothing left. Nothing at all. Except that horrible expectation of being standing before God and having to give account of everything I've ever done. You know what happened when I was young? I began to fear God. I woke up. I began to be afraid of God. Well, it takes God to do something in people's hearts to make them afraid. It takes God to deal with people because there's no fear of God before their eyes. Naturally, people are just going to ride the wave. They're just going to, whatever God has given them from the start, they're satisfied, they're going to go for it. And they're not afraid of God. They're not looking for God. And if it weren't for God looking for them, there would be no meeting. They would all wake up dead men someday and before God in the judgment, and then God would show them just how angry He was. The world needs to fear God. You know, if they're not afraid of hell, they ought to be afraid of death. It ought to wake them up. I didn't start looking for God and want to serve God because I was afraid of hell. I believed the gospel since I was very little. It wasn't hell. It was death. I knew that I was going to die, and so I began to fear God. But you know something? I've noticed also that there are other things that make people fear God, like, loss of His blessings. People are afraid of a depression, right? People were afraid of Y2K. People still have food left over. They're going to save it for Y3K. People are afraid of God taking away His blessings. People are afraid of the craziest things. Afraid of some horrible thing happening. But you know something? We all ought to stop and think about the blessings that God has given us that He could take away in a moment. We all saw it. They were talking about the banks going broke about 20 years ago, talking about the whole world going broke because of 15 or 20 third world nations defaulting on their debts. They were talking about the big banks going under. Just last year, we're talking about Katrina. They were talking about the big insurance companies going under. Two or three of those a year, find out how good our economy will be. How many more wars can we handle? How many more problems can we take? Does that scare you? Is there nothing at all that God can do that would scare you just in your life? Take away your job, give you some kind of a sickness, do something? You do realize it's all in God's hands. The reason why you're not sick, that's God. The reason why you're still alive, that's God. The reason why we still have liberty right here in the United States, that's God. It's God! It's nothing else. It's not because we have some, a natural principle that just forces things to be nice for us. God invented this place. He built it. He designed it. He made it. And now He keeps it working. Just to give us a little more time. This is God. Fear of God results in people doing the right thing when only God can see. You see, because if you fear God, you'll do the right thing when it's only God that can see. And if you don't fear God, when nobody else can see and you can get away with it, then you just go ahead and do the wrong thing. Because you don't fear God. So the result of fearing God is when people do the right thing when they didn't have to. They could have got away with it. In other words, if you could cheat on your taxes, you'd do it. If you could watch a filthy movie and nobody would know, you'd do it. If you could fornicate or adulterate or do some other thing and get away with it, you'd do it. That's because you don't fear God. You know what God says? There's no fear of God before their eyes. They're not afraid of me. He said, I look at them, I watch them, I can see what they do. But they're not thinking about me. They're not worried about what I can do. What an insult to an all-powerful God who gave everything they have and in that moment is actually supplying their needs. Supplying the air they breathe. Supplying the food they eat. Supplying the sunshine they use. This is God sending the rain on the just and the unjust, and yet they're not afraid of Him. Not concerned about what he thinks. No fear of God before their eyes. You ought to fear God's punishment. You ought to fear God's anger. You ought to fear the day God decides, I am fed up. You know, he does get fed up. There is a limit. I suppose we haven't reached it yet. But this world is going downhill fast. You know, I don't know how I can quantify it. It's pretty hard. It'd be difficult to put a number on it or do statistics and figure it out. I don't know how to do it. Somebody might have figured out a way to do it. But I can't. I just don't know how. And yet, what I have experienced, what I have seen, what I know about how I grew up and about how things are now, it sure looks to me like it's getting worse. It sure looks to me like it's getting worse. It seems to me men are fearing God less and less every minute that we go down this road of history. Every minute people fear God less. And the people who talk about God the most fear Him the least. I'm talking about people who, because they're so zealous and devoted for God, would actually blow themselves up to kill you. talk about God. But you might ought to fear. You might ought to fear God. You know, there have been times when societies, and God has worked on certain societies, certain areas. We call them awakenings or movements of God or revivals or something. God has worked on societies and caused even unbelievers to fear God. Even people who will not give themselves to the Lord, yet they still fear Him. I remember, you know, we used to sit around and listen to the old preachers talk about how they used to be. And they could just walk up as a preacher of the gospel, just walk up in any neighborhood, knock on the doors and say, we're wanting to... And they'd invite them in, have sit down, you know, let's talk. Because people feared God even though they weren't believers. They didn't read the Bible. Boy, those days are long gone. I think it's getting worse. I think people are fearing God less and less. And I think there's some reasons for it. I think it's something that's happening because of things we can actually see. At least I feel like we can see them. Since we know some of the things that cause people to not fear God, I believe we can mark them down as God's patience. You know, it's like if it's obvious to me that God doesn't want to hurt us. He wants to be good to us. He wants to give us good stuff. I mean, look at the stuff He's given us. It's obvious that He's got a good heart. He really wants to help us out. And yet, you know, He does send famines, and He does send hurricanes and tsunamis. He does send sicknesses and epidemics and Katrinas and all kinds of things. And it's obvious that God is trying to wake people up. You read over there in Revelation, it'll talk about all these plagues that God is trying to get people to repent. He says they still won't repent, but He sends the plagues for them to repent. And then He seems surprised that even then the men wouldn't repent. That's the way God is. He does some severe things to make us wake up, to make us fear Him, to make us seek Him, to make us repent. This is what God is doing. And so when God is patient, when God gives us a generation or two of successive year after year, economic growth and prosperity and blessing. Well, what happens? Men just quit fearing God. They begin to think God's on their side. I mean, or maybe they're thinking, you know, God doesn't even have to be worried about. We can actually put God right out of our knowledge. We don't have to retain Him in our knowledge. We don't have to think about Him because He doesn't do anything terrible to us. I believe that's what's happened in this world in this last couple of generations. Just one after another, everything seems to be going well. You say, well, what about this and what about that? Let me tell you something. The world has just gone progressing year after year after year. Things have gotten better, prosperity-wise. Not spiritually, but in a lot of other ways. People tend to confuse prosperity with God's favor. Or with God's approval. You remember when Jesus got through preaching in Chorazin and Bethsaida, He got out of there and He said, woe unto you. Talking about these cities. Woe unto you. Because right now you're exalted. Almost to heaven you're exalted. He said, but if the same things had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented. You see, they were exalted. They were prosperous. Everything was going good. And they didn't need His preaching. He came through preaching, they weren't interested. And so, when He got done, He said, it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for you. But they would have never guessed that. In fact, you would have never guessed that to see just how good things were going for. Looks good. Isn't that amazing how somebody will just assume that because things are going good for them, God just must be on their side. Or God must approve. But that's just not true. Another thing I've seen among people in our generation is that they have isolated themselves from reality. They just don't have to face things. Because of prosperity, they can isolate themselves from reality. They don't have to know where chicken comes from. They can just go to the store and buy it. They don't have to go out and pluck it and boil it and cut off its head. They just go to the store and buy it. They don't know where beef comes from. They don't know where any of this stuff comes from. It's in the supermarket. And so you're isolated from reality. And you isolate yourselves in so many ways. In Mexico, 20 years ago, you walk out on any neighborhood street at any time of the evening, and there would be hundreds of people. They're out there playing ball or just sitting, talking. Not anymore. It's getting harder and harder to get people out on the street. How about here? Dad says when he was growing up, everybody was out on the streets. They didn't have air conditioning, so you didn't want to be in the house at that time of the day. You know, get 6, 7 o'clock in the day, that house is hot. Everybody gets out on the street, they're sitting in the cool of the day, outside, talking, people skateboarding, doing things. They did skateboard back in your day, didn't they? But people now are isolated. Everybody's separated. And it's because of the prosperity. It's because everything's going so well. And so people have isolated themselves from any concept of God's approval or disapproval. The only place they're going to hear about God's approval or disapproval might be a televangelist, or if they go to church on Sunday. Then maybe the preacher will tell them whether God approves of their lives or disapproves. And I got to tell you, there's a whole lot of them not telling the whole truth. There's a whole lot of them that don't have a phone line to God. They haven't got a connection somewhere. I believe 100 years ago or so, a number of things happened. We can call it an apostasy that made people in general more unbelieving. I'm talking about the scientific principles of geology and biology, evolution and such, making God unnecessary. So that now, it almost seems as if God is just a figment of our imagination. Many people, they'll talk about God, but still in the back of their minds, it's just in their minds. It's just an abstract thought. He's not someone that has to be appeased. He's not someone who could be angry at the way we live. He's not someone that you have to answer to. He's just an idea. And this is pervading the whole world. I saw the end of a movie called The Pianist. I was talking to Joey West in Poland. He said he read the book. And he was explaining some things to me. Said the author of this book was trying to explain his thoughts on the Second World War. And he said he figured it out. He said the reason why the Second World War happened, 40 million people killed, destruction never before seen. He said it's because people became atheists. They got rid of God. You do your studies on it, you'll find out that's basically true. They got rid of God. And God let them feel it. You set God out of your life. You get rid of God. You quit fearing God. And untold devastation could happen. God just says, you know, I'm going to punish you. And yet people have gotten rid of God. People are getting rid of God daily, on a daily basis. Less and less need for Him. Less and less concern for His Word. No fear of God before their eyes. There's a lot of religious nonsense out there that feeds this problem. You know, people equate all religions. You talk to somebody, they'll say, oh, all religions are good. All religions are good? That's just nonsense. I mean, some religions are horrible. Horrible. There are religions that actually abuse children. There are religions that kill people. Part of their religion. Come on, don't tell me all religions are good. How can anybody say something that stupid? All religions aren't good. In fact, most religions are horrible, or wrong, or false. I've noticed that even Christian religions nowadays don't make God the center. They make man the center. Have you noticed that God has been turned into a self-help seminar? God exists to make you happy. God exists to make you fulfilled. God is there ready to do a miracle to help you out, to make you prosperous, to make things work in your business. That's what God's about. God's like a canary in a cage. They have Him in church, and when they want to hear Him sing or they want to see how pretty He is, they go and look at Him. But they don't want God in their lives out there. There's no fear of God before their eyes. And it's getting worse. I was reading the Humanist Manifesto. I read both of them. There might be another one now, I don't know. But I read the one from 1933. That one was really hilarious because that was before the Second World War. And the way they talk, you ought to read it. It's really, it's a good laugh. The way they talk about how the world is progressing and getting better, and it is really funny. Because World War II happened right, you know, a couple years after that it was written. Anyway, that was the Humanist Manifesto. I read the second one done in the 70s, and you know something? They invented a morality that doesn't need God. They have invented a moral structure that has nothing to do with pleasing God or doing what God wants. There is no morality without God, just in case you didn't notice. There's no even reason to come up with the word. If there's no God, if there's no judgment, the word is meaningless. There's no such thing as morality. How is it that people have come to the point where they don't even need God for morality? To know right and wrong. You don't need to think that you're going to have to give account to someone. But if you're not going to give account to anyone, then it doesn't matter what you do. Nothing matters at all if you're not going to give account to anyone. You're just another ape. You're no more important than a snail. You die and you disappear and it's over. But that's not true. There is a God and there is a morality that He has declared. And He will judge according to that word. And yet there's no fear of God because they can invent morality without Him. There's another reason why that there's less and less fear of God, and that's because the most notable examples, the role models, don't fear God. When politicians don't fear God, when policemen don't fear God, when our soldiers don't fear God, you know something? There's some things that are just absolutely inexcusable, not acceptable. Some of the things that were done in Iraq, these things are not acceptable. Amen. I'm not criticizing anybody here just because you're military. I'm not criticizing the decision to go to Iraq. I'm saying though when we send immoral soldiers over there and they do some horrible things, well, what do you expect? Horrible things! How can that be? Not possible. When your soldiers don't fear God, when priests don't fear God, literally hundreds, maybe thousands of priests now being accused of child molestations, sexual perversion. What about ministers and preachers? When the people who should be the role models, the very best of our society, when they don't fear God, how do you expect society in general to fear Him? I think there's another reason, and this is the one that's most important to us. I think the reason why the world doesn't fear God is because Christians don't fear God. That is us. I'm not talking about all those other Christians. I'm talking about us in this room. The reason why our neighbors don't fear God is because we don't fear God. Remember what we said. The fear of God results in doing the right thing when only God can see. When it only has to do with God. When no one else knows, when there's no other benefit, no other motivation, you do the right thing because of God. That's what the fear of God does. And yet Christians, they're finding it harder and harder and harder to live that way. So that they would actually do the right thing just because it's the right thing. Just to please God. For no other reason. I find it more and more difficult to find Christians who eschew evil. Like Job did. Who can't stand it. Who don't want to be around it. It's so easy just to become acclimated to it. Evil is everywhere. So we begin to just breathe it in. If you think you're not breathing it in, you are. Every single day you're breathing it in. Evil is everywhere. And Christians don't eschew it. They're not afraid of it. They're not sickened by it. You know, it says, Job vexed his soul in the things that he saw and he heard. Vexed his soul daily with their unlawful deeds. And yet, Christians don't vex their souls even over it. And if Christians aren't afraid of God, aren't afraid of evil, aren't afraid of sin, how do you expect the world to be afraid of God? I've noticed, and this is even in my own life, I've noticed that we fear God's punishment less and less. The Bible says that every son that he receiveth, he chastises. That is, when they do wrong, he spanks them. He gives them trouble. He doesn't allow them just to get away with it. Now I realize he's not overbearing. I realize that you can have some patience as a parent. So we can say he's patient with Christians. And yet it does say every son receives chastisement. And anyone that doesn't receive that chastisement is not his son. He's rather a bastard. An illegitimate son. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews 12. So, sometimes I wonder why we aren't punished more. That is why you and me, when we do something, you know, I've done some boneheaded things. And I feel like, you know, I've done the Lord wrong. I've actually gotten angry, gotten out of my car, and ready to hit someone. And I'm a preacher of the gospel. Don't look down your nose at me. I know you're just like me. But then I think, Lord, forgive me, and He says, okay. Just lets me get away with it. Why doesn't He knock me over? Why doesn't He show me how? Why doesn't He change me? Why doesn't He punish me? Is He that patient? Oh, I think we ought to fear the Lord's punishment. I think we ought to be afraid to sin because God does punish. And yet every time we do something like that, and don't get punished, it makes us fear God less. I've wondered why the Lord does that. I've sometimes thought that maybe what the Lord, He knows the future, and maybe He knows that we're going to be going through some pretty bad stuff. So He says, there's no need. I'm going to give Him just a little bit of peace because I know what's coming. Oh, I don't want the Lord to start letting things build up. I don't want Him to let it loose on me all at once. You know, I have to tell you, I am afraid of God's punishment. I am afraid of losing rewards. Amen. I am afraid of losing God's approval, God's blessing, God's fellowship. I truly am afraid of that. I've noticed that Christians nowadays don't seek their reward in heaven. Which is another symptom or result of fearing God. You seek your reward in heaven. You're looking for God's approval and not man's approval. You're looking for the things God is going to give you. That's when you fear God. When you focus on the Lord's rewards. And yet I've noticed Christians, they're looking for their reward here. Here and now. You just listen to them on the TV. So many preachers preaching, you know. I heard one of them, his name was Dollar. Reverend Dollar. And that's basically what he was preaching. I see that Christians don't embrace hard tasks. Things that require a lot of effort just to please God. Things like, say, a marriage. That's not easy. No marriage is easy. But you know, there's a guy named Barna. He's a Barna research group. You can look it up on the internet. He has his results there posted. He actually does interviews and surveys out in California mainly. So this might be a little skewed. But he actually has done some surveys on Christians and their divorce rates. And you know what he found out? That if you don't count Christians who were divorced before they got saved, he found out that Christians are 1 percentage point less likely to get divorced than the average. Which is statistically insignificant. 35% of Christians are divorced and remarried. Born-again Christians. He lists out the questions that he asked and their answers. You know what the problem is? Christians don't fear God. Wasn't it Jesus that said, except it be for fornication, you commit adultery? I'm not sitting here in judgment on anyone. I'm just telling you, the reason why the world doesn't fear God is because Christians don't fear God. If we were a little bit more like our forefathers in the faith, fearing God, fearing nobody else, but fearing God, maybe the people around us would fear God. They would understand and be motivated to fear God. Faith is contagious. People believe when they see you believe. But if everything you do is for this world, and you're only looking for the easy road, and you do things when there's some other motivation for it, rather than just to please God, what you're doing is consigning everyone else out there to that same unbelief. I've noticed that Christians don't confess sin. The reason why Christians don't confess sin is because they fear people more than they fear God. Nobody wants you to air out your dirty laundry. But let me tell you something. The Bible talks about sins going beforehand and sins that aren't going to be hidden. Jesus said, there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed. And when people begin to fear God, they begin to want to be right with God. They begin to seek a way to appease God. There's a problem when Christians won't confess their sins and get right with God. The reason why the world doesn't fear God is because Christians, and I'm talking about us, because we're not fearing God. Why? Is it because of the unconditional nature of salvation? The fact that I'm saved and not the devil and all his angels can take that away from me. Nobody can condemn me. because Jesus Christ died for me. I cannot lose myself because Jesus Christ paid my debt. That is the unconditional nature of salvation. Does that make you bold then? So that you don't have to fear God? What is God now? Just a toothless lion? He can't hurt you now? You as a Christian can live any way you want? You don't have to fear God? If you could see Him, you would fear Him. Everyone in the Bible that see Him fall down on their face. Trembling. Yet because Christians don't fear God, the world doesn't fear God. And God's upset about that. Is it possible that you know something about Christian liberty and that's why you don't fear God? You feel like we're just free to do anything we want? This isn't just Christian liberty. This is Christian libertines. Christians who feel like they can just do anything. They don't have to worry about God's opinion. God's just given them free rein. Do whatever you want. Well, I'm not speaking against Christian liberty. It's a very valuable thing. But let me tell you something. If it's Christian liberty that causes you not to fear God, you're making a huge mistake. Is it possible maybe that God is not in agreement with the way you're living? Is it possible that He is not in agreement with the decisions you're making, with the job you have, with the way you take care of your responsibilities, with the way you treat your husband or wife? Is it possible that God says that's not the way to do things, and yet you feel like you have just as much right to do things your way? This is your Christian liberty. And because you don't fear God, the world doesn't fear God. Who's going to show them how? There is no fear of God in Christians. Christians live as if God were their wishing well. They're Santa Claus. Just taking care of them. When they got troubles, they call on God. Absolutely no different than the world. It's exactly what the world does. When the world has trouble, they call on God. Even atheists call on God when they got troubles. Foxhole conversions, you've heard of them. Happens all the time. I can sympathize. I understand. But that's the way Christians are. No fear of God until God starts giving you trouble. No fear of God until He starts punishing you. No fear of God. What does God have to do? Does He have to be the bad guy? Does He have to hurt you? What does He have to do? And why? Why hasn't He done it already? What is He waiting for? Why hasn't He shaken us and woken us up? I don't know, but that makes me fear Him. That makes me fear the Lord. I know the Lord is on my side. I know because He has proved it that He loves me. I know it. And He declared it. And He died on the cross to save me. I know He loves me. But He never expected because of that for me not to fear Him. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We as Christians ought to fear God. You ought to be afraid of His punishment because He can be severe. You ought to be afraid of Him taking away your life, leaving your children with nothing, with no one. You ought to be afraid of His harsh punishment. You ought to be afraid that He could take away your prosperity, if nothing else. If that's the only thing that'll move you, you ought to be afraid of that too. Because, boy, He can do that too. In a heartbeat, He can take away everything you've got. And you know something? He's actually promised to do it. He's not going to leave you alone. He's not going to abandon you into your sin, into the way you're living, into the decisions you've made. You might think, young people, raised in a Christian home, that you can get away with it. But you can't. God's promised. He's made promises. He is not going to let you get away with it. He is going to change you. He is going to punish you. He will straighten you out. If anybody ought to fear God, it's Christians. God has no obligation whatsoever to a lost man, to a lost person, to correct him, to punish him, to wake him up. He could let him go his way until he dies and is condemned. But not Christians. The Lord has made promises to us. And He says He will not let you go down your road. You will not be able to just do whatever you want to do. This is God's promise to us, which is a tremendous blessing. But Christians ought to fear God. And Christians are not fearing God. They're living like the world. Hardly any difference. Is this what prosperity does to us? Is there no faith in Christians who God has blessed more than any other generation in all of history? Is there no fear of God before our eyes? How can the world have fear of God if we don't have fear of God? Let's stand. We're going to sing number 249. If you have any fear of God at all, you need to make things right with God. When God speaks to us, He expects us to respond. And if you don't respond when He speaks to you, why would He speak to you again? Why would He have any reason to say anything else to you if you don't respond when He's spoken to you today? So don't wait. If God's spoken to you, you make it right with Him today. Let's sing.